Hello, and welcome to a brand new series of Robinson Ralph on the internet. What do we call this again?
Having a natter.
Having a natter. That is much catchier than Robinson Ralph on the internet.
So it's been a while since we did one of these, hasn't it?
It's been a long old time. And people have been coming up to us, haven't they, saying...
They actually have.
I know. It's not a lie. Coming up to us and saying, oh, I miss your podcasts. Mm. Missed them.
We were absolutely staggered because we just sit here speaking into the ether, assuming that nobody's interested in anything that we've got to say. But by the very fact of you hearing us saying this demonstrates that people are. Now it's possible no one will listen to this one.
It is. I hope I'm going to pick up a challenge here that people at home or in the car or the train or the bath or whatever it is they are, presumably in the bath or are at home, they would be just in a bath in the bath in room. Green,
yeah.
But you used the word ether there, and I've always pronounced it as ether.
Yeah. I don't know which one is right. No. Whether one's my perhaps this is American pronunciation.
This is like our hilarious harassment and harassment.
Oh, we were actually asked. Yeah. Me the other day, somebody said, oh, I've been saying harassment all my life. Have I been getting it wrong because you said harassment earlier?
Yeah.
That just was so confusing. Oh. We really don't know which one is right. So we said, whatever they've been doing, just carry on.
We're
very much almost life coaches in that respect, aren't we?
Yeah, but we don't get any credit for it as usual. The Illuminati keep us down.
It is terrible. I say that it's possible no one was listening. Now, no individual person, though, will know that nobody else is listening, will they?
No.
So they'd have to go around and say, I didn't listen to the Robinson Ralph having an extra podcast.
Yeah.
Did you not listen to it as well?
Yeah.
And they'd have to ask every person in at least the country, if not the world, that before they could then come to us and say, no one listened to your podcast. So any individual person who's not listening to this, then so there, you don't know that no one else is listening.
We should call this the lonely listener, shouldn't we? But they might not be lonely because other people might be listening to it. So it might be the incorrect.
Yeah, the
lonely listener.
Popular listener.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. So what are we going to be talking about today?
So that's the banter over.
Banter over. Drawn a line under that.
Completed it, mate. Banter complete. So we're talking about Muir, the AstraZeneca UK Limited.
And what legal forum was that heard in?
That was heard, not surprisingly, in an employment tribunal.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes. So it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, then reading day, then 4 more days, then another day, and then 2 more days.
Oh, I hope it was exciting as you made it sound just then.
Loads of days.
So shall I talk about the facts and then you can talk about a bit of the law?
Do you think people out there put this on like the sound reducing headphones and just listen to us talk?
I imagine so. Yeah. I imagine so. Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Just drinking our voices.
So we were just talking about the fact that obviously the facts are quite long, weren't we? So I've decided to cut them down by reading just every other word of the paragraphs, the 77 paragraphs setting out the facts, haven't I?
So you've been both succinct. But you'll be giving the full judgment.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll have to maybe fill in some gaps, but no, obviously not going to do.
The of tribunal that.
So the of dismissal, well, which, that. Yeah. Oh,
brilliant work.
So anyway, this was an unfair dismissal and wrongful dismissal claim. And it was also a disability discrimination claim. It's under section 15, section fans. So a claim for discrimination because of something arising in consequence of disability. Spoiler alert, the claim was successful. There will be a remedy hearing. Now, what happened was that a Dr. Muir, who worked for AstraZeneca, was found to be, well, it was conceded that he was disabled by virtue of a depressive illness and generalized anxiety.
Right.
The question of actual or constructive knowledge of the disability remained in issue. So just to briefly cover that. As an employer, you will be held to know about somebody's disability if you have actual knowledge, so you have been told essentially by somebody, or if you have constructive knowledge, which is where you haven't actually been told directly, really you should know, either based on things that you've been told indirectly or the way that the employee is sort of behaving or symptoms that they are displaying. There was, in this case, held to be knowledge. The background to it was that there was a 3-week absence related to anxiety. Anxiety NOS is what the fit notes said, but there was a background to that where there'd been a flare up the mental health condition. And in fact, one of the claimant's managers during the investigation said that when he'd started in his team, the claimant had been a broken man. That was enough ultimately for the tribunal to say, well, they really did know. And if they didn't know, they should have known. Yeah. So the investigation started in 2020, July 2020, when a ticket was raised with HR entitled Potential Bullying and Harassment in the Workplace. So Mr. Barraclough was appointed as the investigating officer. He began his investigation by interviewing witnesses, and the tribunal said they were surprised to note that despite these steps taking place, the claimant was not actually informed of the internal investigation until an email was sent to him in August 2020. Equally surprising was that the letter did not actually inform Dr. Muir that he was being investigated for concerns relating to bullying and harassment, nor did it mention the potential sanctions. And in the meantime, Mr. Barraclough had been interviewing various people as part of his investigation. So, little lesson there. Keep the employee informed of the investigation as it's going on.
Great little lesson.
Yeah. So there was a report produced in October 2020. Mr. Barraclough was of the opinion that the conduct in question raised concerns under the Code of Ethics and the Global Standard on Bullying and Harassment. I think that was their internal global standard. And he recommended that the matter was referred to an improvement hearing, which was essentially just another name for a disciplinary hearing. The tribunal acknowledged that the report was detailed and that Mr. Barraclough had put a lot of effort and time into carrying out the investigation, but they said he displayed a lack of curiosity in relation to some of the matters which arose from his interviews with the witness. And these were all around the issues of mental health. So there was the reference to him being a broken individual as one point. Under cross-examination, Mr. Barraclough said that if I had been put on actual or constructive notice of mental health concerns, I would have considered a referral to occupational health. The tribunal noted that really he was at the very least on constructive notice of the mental health concerns, yet he did nothing. So the very fact that he conceded that perhaps he should have done something if he'd known was problematic.
That's one of the things we hear as respondents, listeners, is a witness saying on the stand, with the benefit of hindsight, I would have done X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. If the respondents' witnesses themselves are conceding, perhaps things should have been done differently.
We're in trouble.
The tribunal is maybe going to agree with them if that's the respondents' case at its highest. Miss Bright was provided with the investigation report. So she's from HR. And Mr. Bromelow was appointed as a disciplinary hearing officer. There was a disciplinary hearing. The allegations were not particularly specific. They were essentially of inappropriate conduct towards various individuals and unprofessional stroke inappropriate business emails. So there's a disciplinary hearing in October 2020. Mr. Bromelow arranged further investigations. He also noted that the claimant displayed behaviours during the disciplinary hearing supporting the findings and outcome being delivered. The tribunal noted there was no evidence that he'd considered Dr. Muir's mental health and whether this was a factor in how he behaved when under stress, such would be the case at the disciplinary hearing. So ultimately, he was dismissed for gross misconduct. There was a formal appeal. That appeal was a full rehearing of the case, but criticisms, and actually there was a medical report available to the appeal hearing officer, but criticisms of the disciplinary officer and the appeal officer really were consistent. And just to sum it up this way, while the behaviour witnessed by Dr. Muir's colleagues during the meetings in the summer of 2020 would have been unacceptable and intimidating, there seemed to be a complete ignorance on the part of the respondents' officers as to the impact of mental health issues on Dr. Muir's behaviour and the reaction to the delays in the completion of the project, which was causing him a great deal of frustration.
That was wonderfully said. It was a really good summary, dear Frank. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I've missed this. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. I mean, I've seen you quite a lot.
Yeah, but I've missed us.
Missed
me. My only question, I suppose, is why do you insist we do these podcasts naked?
I'm able to prove you wrong there in that assertion, aren't I, given the format?
So thank you, David, for the summary of the facts. I'm going to now do a little bit about what is known in legal circles, the law. So we're just going to talk about the tribunal's consideration of the unfair dismissal. And the tribunal said that the respondent had shown that the reason for dismissal was conduct. That was, of course, potentially fair reason. That wasn't even disputed by the claimant. Tribunal then had to go on to consider whether the dismissal was fair in all the circumstances. They recognized that there was understandable alarm caused by the complaints about the claimant's behavior, and there was a need to take action to resolve the problem as quickly as possible. And they said that given the seriousness of the investigation, it was essential that Mr. Barraclough properly investigated all aspects of the case he had taken on, and they made thorough inquiries into the claimant's mental health and the impact that it might have had on his behavior at meetings with colleagues. A fairly fundamental point there. And Tribunal noted that despite his confirming that had mental health been an issue, he would have referred the claim to occupational health. He failed to act upon two employees, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Powell, who referred to concerns about the claimant's state of mind. So had he taken this action, the tribunal found during the investigation, it may well have changed the direction of the disciplinary process. But as it was, Mr. Barraclough completed his investigation and determined that there was a case to answer a disciplinary hearing, potential gross misconduct in relation to behaviour at the meetings in June and July 2020. Tribunal said that there's no doubt that Mr. Barraclough carried out a detailed and lengthy investigation, interviewing a number of witnesses, but didn't accept it was a thorough investigation because of the failure to make obvious further inquiries regarding the claimant's mental health. At the disciplinary hearing, Mr. Bromelow also carried out a detailed consideration, but the tribunal said, again, despite being made aware by Mr. Taylor in person and having read Mr. Powell's witness statements, the disciplinary officer, Mr. Bromelow, failed to explore the possibility that the claimant's mental health had affected his behaviours, which he was considering as amounting to misconduct or not. And the tribunal said, well, of course, there was misbehaviour which led to the complaints being brought against the claimant, and it was reasonable for management to take some sort of action. It was also reasonable for Mr. Bromelow, the disciplinary officer, to find that some misconduct had taken place following the disciplinary hearing. But the tribunal went on to say that while the disciplinary officer genuinely believed the gross misconduct had taken place, the belief was not reasonable because it hadn't been a proper consideration of the evidence concerning the claimant's mental health. So the tribunal said for those reasons, it couldn't accept that the decision to summarily dismiss was within the range of reasonable responses available to a disciplinary hearing officer. And had Mr. Bromelow obtained relevant information by making appropriate inquiries before making his decision, it would no longer be reasonable for him to reach the conclusions that he did. And they mentioned it in the appeal hearing. Ms. Boyd had the perfect opportunity to remedy the earlier errors in the disciplinary process, but having had the same medical evidence available to her, along with other medical evidence, she too failed to properly take account of the role that mental health issues played in the behaviour under investigation. And what the tribunal did say was that had this been a case where the employer had previously considered the claimant's mental health issues and despite attempting to support him, he continued to behave inappropriately, it may well have been a different situation. But in this case, despite having a number of opportunities to intervene to moderate his behavior and or provide specific training, appropriate steps were not taken by the respondent before the events which gave rise to the disciplinary process. So all very interesting.
Very interesting. So there is, according to the judgment, a remedy hearing to be listed at a later date. So that will presumably happen in due course unless the parties come to some sort of agreement. What the tribunal also considered, though, prior to the remedy hearing as part of this judgment, was whether or not there was any contributory conduct. That is whereby, if the tribunal finds that claimant has contributed to their own dismissal by conduct, which is culpable and blameworthy, they can reduce compensation. Now, probably unsurprisingly, the tribunal here said, no, there isn't any contributory fault on the part of the claimant, given that the behaviour was related to mental health issues. So there won't be any reduction for that at the remedy hearing.
It's been a privilege and a thrill to be back with you. And I hope you've all enjoyed this first. I think we're going to do 10, did we say, in this series?
We said 10 in the series, yeah.
We're back. That's all I can
say. Keep on trucking.
Exactly. Bye then.
Bye.